The first of two little readings is from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and we'll go on and we'll have a bit out of chapter 8 later. The first page you need in the church Bibles is 1093, Acts chapter 2, starting at first verse. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Now, if you find page 1101, I believe. Chapter 8. And at verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, help us now to understand your word and to be changed as we meet you in it. For we ask in your holy name. Amen. So we're thinking this morning about the church being fully and forever equipped by the Holy Spirit. And thinking about being equipped, I've brought some things along this morning to help us. I brought my toolbox, so let's see what's inside. Okay, we've got some screwdrivers handy. We got some nice big spanners and an adjustable spirit level, wallpaper scraper, sink plunger, and most exciting of all, my label printing machine. You've no idea how much fun this thing is. Anywhere in this building you see little printed labels about that high. They were printed on this machine. It's great. And sometimes I'll lend out some of my tools to people I trust. Karen, you may borrow my ratchet screwdriver.
Baptist, thank you.
Becca, would you like to borrow my adjustable spanner? You'd really like the label machine. The label machine is not loaned out. But you can have the screwdriver, you can have the adjustable spanner, but bring them back when you're done. Bring them back when you're finished with them. In the Old Testament, before the time of Jesus, the Holy Spirit was a bit like that. The Spirit would come to particular people at a particular time to empower them for a particular purpose. And so you hear about the Spirit of God coming to people like Joshua and Gideon, Samson. You hear of him coming to Saul and David. When it happened, it was a specific gift for a time when there was a specific need. And we hear about, you know, the name of the person on whom the Spirit came. That's how it was in Old Testament times. But in that first reading from Acts chapter 2, something very much bigger is happening. As you'll remember, Jesus had died and rose again, and then he spent several weeks teaching his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And now we're reading about how Jesus' new church gets called and equipped and sent out to do his work. And today's reading is the equipping part of that. And the Holy Spirit comes on them on the day of Pentecost. They knew something was coming. They'd known for a long time. Back in the Old Testament, the prophet Joel had written afterwards, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people." And they would prophesy, they'd have dreams and visions, they'd see great wonders being worked. Joel says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved at that time. And at the end of Luke's gospel, Jesus had told his disciples, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." And so when the Spirit comes, it'll be all to do with God's promise to save people from every nation. And that's what starts to happen in that reading. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes dramatically to the church. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now look just for a minute at the sort of series of things that has just happened. Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses," but that they were to wait for the gift that God the Father had promised. And so they do wait. And the Spirit does come. And it's dramatic. And they are his witnesses in Jerusalem that day. I mean, that's what happens as the crowd gathers around them. The people are bewildered by what's happening and they come to investigate, they come to see. And what they find, they say, is, "We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amid all the excitement and drama and the miracles seen that day, that's the center of it. We hear them declaring the wonders of God. They're being witnesses to everything that has happened through Jesus. I mean, just remember, a few weeks before, these men were hiding in a locked room. They were so afraid of what was going to happen to them. But look at them now. Look at their confidence. We'll hear more next week of how Peter begins to speak. But look at their confidence. Look at these supernatural abilities with language, and look at how God has done that to equip them for that day's task of sharing the good news about Jesus with everyone who's in Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost. They've come from all around that part of the world with all their different languages that they speak natively. They've come together to Jerusalem, but God equips the disciples to tell them the wonders of what God has done through Jesus. And things carry on, transformed. As time passes, the church will be scattered, and we'll get to the reasons for that and what they did in response in the weeks ahead. And they keep on being Christ's witnesses. They keep on sharing the good news in all the places where they find themselves, including in Samaria. In that second reading, the Samaritans were sort of outcast, weird second cousins to the Jews. But no matter. The Holy Spirit continues to be given as the message of Jesus is spread. And it's all very different to the role of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament times before Jesus. My toolbox. You remember I let Karen borrow the screwdriver. I let Becca borrow the adjustable spanner. I won't lend anyone my precious label printing machine. But they were able to borrow particular things while they had a special need for them. And they had to promise to bring them back because the loan was just for a short period. But after the day of Pentecost, everyone gets the whole toolbox forever. They are fully equipped. They are equipped forever by the Holy Spirit who has been poured out on those Christ has redeemed for himself. I mean, besides the dramatic and obvious gifts of the Spirit in the reading, there's a whole lot more going on that day in which the Holy Spirit is absolutely vital. Maybe we'll hear some more about this next week, but whenever someone is convicted of their sin, when they realize they've done wrong, that's the Holy Spirit at work in them, opening their eyes to see themselves for who they are. When someone repents, when they change the direction of their life and believe in Jesus, that is the Holy Spirit's work in them, making that possible. When someone wants to hear God's word and to understand it and to respond to it, the Holy Spirit is at work in them. When a person believes in Jesus, and many of us in a few minutes will be saying the creed together, that's something that can only happen when the Holy Spirit is working in their lives to truly believe in Jesus. When someone is made righteous in God's sight, when someone trusts that they belong to God, when someone's being made more holy and more like Jesus, when sin's being rooted out of their life, all of those are things that the Holy Spirit is doing in them. When someone is grafted into the church and finds unexpectedly, but oh so wonderfully, that they belong here, the Holy Spirit is at work. When someone receives gifts of the Spirit that equip them for the work of sharing the good news, as we were seeing in the reading, the Holy Spirit is working in their life. God is equipping his church fully and forever, giving it everything needed to go and bear witness to what God's done in our lives. There's one other difference between my toolbox and the Holy Spirit. There's quite a lot of differences, actually, but here's another one that's important. My toolbox has things in it that are useful, but the toolbox and its contents are things. They're useful, but they don't care. They don't have feelings. I don't have conversations with my toolbox. We don't have a relationship. That would be weird. But the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. He loves the church. He loves to equip the church to go and share the good news. He wants the best for the church. A few weeks ago, Becca was speaking about being a church that's called, equipped, and sent out. And these readings today are about the church being equipped in some ways that are really obvious and dramatic, and some ways that are quiet and personal and yet powerful and essential, but always equipped with this aim, that the church might be built up, bringing glory to God and to his Son Jesus as we go out as Christ's witnesses, telling people about the God who loves them. The church is called, so let's believe that good news. He wants us to trust in his Son, Jesus, who died and rose again for us, and to follow him. The church is equipped. Let's receive and use eagerly the gifts the Holy Spirit has for us to be used for God's glory. And the church is sent out. And so let's go in his name to call others, share the good news about Jesus with them, so that they too might in turn be equipped and sent out as well. Amen.